North Shore Today.
The area's only daily news podcast
on msonewsports.com.
Along with Bill Newell, I'm Rick Moore, and this is North Shore Today for Wednesday, February 19, 2020.
It was complete chaos at Lynn City Hall on Tuesday night as approximately 200 people herded into the building to show their opposition to a recreational marijuana shop approved by the City Council last week. Gayla Colley writing in today's Daily Item of Lynn that despite numerous concerns from neighbors about traffic and parking, DM Cannabis was issued the city's last recreational marijuana license last week, which pending state approval will allow the Oregon-based company to open a store at 211 to 217 Lewis Street. The people were scheduled to meet with Lynn City Hall officials. However, after about 100 people showed up, the group was told that the session had been canceled, according to Ryan Johnson, an Atlantic Street resident who lives about five buildings away from the future shop. After the group swelled to about 200, the crowd made its way to Mayor Thomas McGee's office, where City Councilor Darren Sear and other councilors were meeting with the mayor. They were then directed to the Lynn City Council chambers, where someone would meet with them some 20 minutes later. Sear has said that he addressed the crowd, which mainly considered of church members, and told them that he would be meeting privately with the church pastors in the next couple of weeks. However, he did say that the license had already been approved and cannot be revoked, which was echoed by City Councilor George Markopoulos. More on this story in today's Daily Item of Lynn.
In Methuen, there is a continuing controversy over a police contract, according to Lawrence Eagle Tribune reporter Bill Kirk.
In Methuen, I've been writing stories about the, I don't know if you've heard this story about the police contracts, and the superior officers in particular were negotiated this contract where the top officer pay went from, I think, a maximum of, I don't know, whatever it was, $150,000, $160,000, up to literally some of them were slated to make over $400,000 a year. They would have been the highest paid police officers in the country, mm-hmm. based upon this contract that they negotiated. So obviously the city council, the mayor at the time, who was Jujuga, he fought it. The city council fought it, and they knocked the pay down to around $200,000 or something like that, which was still too much for some people. So they're sort of locked in this. They're in arbitration right now, waiting for a decision, or actually a hearing in March to go over this. And they're sort of locked in this battle with the union folks. And the mayor, who's Neil Perry, he's a new mayor in Methuen, and he just announced he's going to have an audit. He's going to get the money for to do an audit of the police department, and just sort of look at the whole operation from top to bottom, and including this crazy salary increases that these guys were going to get, which everybody agrees it was too much, and so it's quite an ongoing battle that I've been writing about.
That's Lawrence Eagle Tribune reporter Bill Kirk.
Federal campaign finance reports show that incumbent Salem Congressman Seth Moulton, with a commanding lead over potential Democratic and Republican primary challengers, when it comes to how much cash they have on hand. Ethan Foreman, a writer for the Salem News, writes this in today's paper. So far, four Democrats and two Republicans have signaled their intention to challenge the Marine Corps veteran in a September 1 primary by pulling nomination papers, according to the Secretary of the Commonwealth's Election Division. Nomination papers were released February 11 and May 5, the deadline for party candidates for Congress to submit nomination papers with at least 2,000 signatures so that local registrars or voters can verify them. Non-party candidates for Congress have a little longer to gather their signatures until July 28th. Here are the candidates that are running on the Democratic side. Incumbent Moulton, Jamie Zalway Belsitio of Topsfield, Angus McQuilkin, also of Topsfield, and Nathaniel Mulcahy of Rockport. two Republicans are planning to run. That would include Carlos Armando Hernandez of Saugus, who ran as a write-in candidate in 2018, and John Paul Moran of Billerica.
Taylor Ann Bradford's reporting in today's Gloucester Times. Shuttle buses will be replacing the MBTA commuter trains between West Gloucester and Rockport this weekend. Commuters riding between West Gloucester and Rockport can expect to be transported by shuttle bus on Saturday, February 22 and Sunday, February 23, as the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority continues work on the four-year Gloucester Drawbridge replacement project. According to the MBTA's official website, the shuttle buses between West Gloucester and Rockport will operate on normal train schedules on that weekend. Bicycles are not permitted on shuttle buses. More on the story in today's Gloucester Times.
The Lynn Commuter Rail Station and Garage should be fully refurbished and modernized by the fall of 2023, according to the MBTA. David McClellan writing in today's Daily Item of Lynn that as part of a multi-phase project design work to upgrade the Central Square T-Station track beds, tenant spaces, arcade, garage, and other infrastructure will begin in March, according to a T-spokesman. Meanwhile, State Representative Peter Capano was on a Lynn TV program, The American Dream, with attorney James Carrigan, talking about improving access to public transportation for Lynn residents, meaning the commuter line. This is State Representative Peter Capano.
One of the things that we've been advocating for, we're calling the Economic Justice Corridor. Right now, there's the Fairmont line in Boston. They're adding more trains at subway prices, and we're making the argument that that is something that should be considered for Lynn too, because a lot of times the rail, commuter rail, goes by the garage there. It's full by the time it even comes to Lynn, and even if it wasn't, it's so expensive, most people in Lynn could not use it, and it's infrequent. You know, it costs, round trip is like $15 to go to North Station. Then you got to take the subway to get wherever you're going. So the control board, you know, as a result of all that activity and going there all the times with other reps, too, from Everett, Revere, and like I said, the group from Lynn, they agreed to include Lynn in a pilot program with the Fairmont line and the Providence to Boston line to be part of a pilot program. So we would be one of the first to institute more frequent rail service, electrification, and at reduced prices.
State Representative Peter Capano on The American Dream on LynnTV.org.
Taylor Ann Bradford's reporting in today's Gloucester Times. Two bald eagles were captured flying over Ten Pound Island by photographer Larry Oakes over the President's Day weekend in Gloucester. He's quoted as saying, "I saw two big shapes in the trees, and they were so obviously giant birds. I saw a pair of them, fully grown, adult, mature bald eagles. They were absolutely huge." Oakes snapped a few shots Sunday of the country's national bird from East Gloucester while looking west over the harbor with Ten Pound Island, the harbor, and Magnolia in the background. Once again, he's quoted as saying, "I was awestruck. I got kind of lucky." The East Gloucester resident's luck didn't run out as the eagles took flight and headed in his direction. Much more on this story, plus photographs in today's Gloucester Times.
That is it for us today on North Shore Today, a daily news podcast here on MSONewsSports.com. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great Wednesday ahead. And we do like to hear from you. You can email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. That's msonewsports@gmail.com.